Morning, Rabbi Yisai. So today we'll conclude our discussion on the fifth of the Asura Harugei Malchus that we've been dealing with, who was Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo. And until now, we've had three versions of what happened to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo. One version was that he was 70 years old, Yosef v'Oisek Batanis, and he was killed. The second version was that what we learned yesterday and the day before in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that he was in the middle of being soimech his Talmidim or soimech his colleagues with the smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. When he was caught, they ran away, and he was murdered by the soldiers when they caught him. He was too old to run. And there it says that was one version, which is the second version in the Gemara. And then the third version we had was in Eila Eskro that he was in the middle of making Kiddush, and that when he got to Asher Bor Elohim, that's when they killed him. So just to add another element into the mix, in Azeh Halavonin, Adire HaTorah that we say on Tisha B'Av, it says as follows. It goes through a whole load of the what's called, and number eight is Tzaddik Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua. Yeah, that there was a tzaddik called Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua, one of the Rishonim, one of the Asura Harugei Malchus. Bo Acharoino, it says he's the last one. It's very interesting because it speaks about Asura Harugei Malchus. It only mentions eight of them in the Azeh Halavonin that we have, and it could be that over the years some of it got lost. Some of the text may have got lost to us, but it says Bo Acharoino, the last one, which here is number eight, but it must be number 10. There must be two missing in the middle. Yeah. He was killed by being stabbed. What happened? Yoim Erev Shabbos Hoyo. It was Erev Shabbos. Zeman Kiddush. Vayikadesh Vayikro. And he made Kiddush and he called out. Cherev Sholfu Olov. They took out a sword. Velohi Nechu B'chaim L'goimro. And they didn't allow him to finish it whilst he was alive. Yotaso Nishmosoi B'voro Elohim. When he came to Asher Boro Elohim Lasois, then at that stage is Yotso Nishmosoi Bavor Elohim Yotze V'Tzor Tzura. I'm not quite sure what that means. In other words, what we've got in the Azeh Halavonin and Adir HaTorah is that the story that we have in Eila Eskero that we say on Yom Kippur about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo, that he was the one who was in the middle of making Kiddush, is brought down here as the death of Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua. So it becomes a bit complicated. We've got three versions of how Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo died, and one of them is attributed to Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua and not to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo in the kinnah that we say on Tisha B'Av. So again, we don't know, right? I don't know Azeh Halavonin and Adir HaTorah exactly how old it is. The Eila Eskro, the Gemara, we know. The Gemara would be the earliest source and probably the most reliable, we would say. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But the Piyut, the Paitonim who wrote Eila Eskro, the Medrash Eila Eskro, and the Paiton who wrote Adir HaTorah, Azeh Halavonin and Adir HaTorah, they also knew the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo, but yet they came up with a different result. So we don't know, and I think we'll find out with some of the others as well, exactly who were the Asura Harugei Malchus, exactly how each one was killed. Certainly, if Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo was killed in the field, out in the mountains between two places, so that none of them would be, the cities we said wouldn't suffer on account of the fact that he had given smicha, then it definitely didn't happen in the palace in front of the governor. So there are doubts in history exactly as to what happened and how it appears in our piyutim.
How do we know that it must have happened? He went there to be safe.
Who went? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bovo went to the mountain.
Started there the Torahway in northwest London, Friday, Cafe Tammuz, 10th of July. Reina Rav, Rabbi Akiva, Rosenblatt, Shlita, Rav of Hamster, Shul. Pasha theme. This week's Torah is sponsored by Mishmas Morris. Gitcha, Delang, Aleh Shalom Bas, Sechova, Rav Mordechai. The Chorin of Rochas Yatzah was the last Sunday in the Shas. Our esteemed founder, Yosef Dov Ben Rishim Machol Tzvi Itzkrit, the Chorin of Rochol.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this week's Parsha, Parshas Matos, we're told after the whole parasha of Nedarim, Veidab Hashem Moshe Lemar Nekoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Meisim Edyonim. There's a sivui that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Bnei Yisrael, that they should go and take Nekoma on the Midyonim. Says the pasuk, Achar Tiyosef El Amecha, afterwards you'll be gathered to your people, which means the Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be Nifta after that. The pasuk continues and says, Moshe tells the people to go and arm themselves. And in pasuk Dalit, Perik Lamadala pasuk Dalit, sorry, pasuk Hey, Vayimos Rumi Alpha Yisroel, Elef Lamata. Interesting Loshan that says that they were handed over from the Alpha Yisroel, Elef Lamata, 1,000 to each Shevet, Shnei Moser Elef Chalitit Zavah, 12,000 in total. It says Rashi already picks up on the Loshan of Vayimosru, says Rashi, Lohidiyacha Shvachan Shle Roy Yisroel, to teach us the Shvach of the Roy Yisroel, of the leaders of Klal Yisroel, that what? Kamein Chavivan Ad Yisroel, just how beloved they are to Klal Yisroel. Why? Ad Shalei Shomu B'misasa Imal Omer, before Moshe Rabbeinu is Nifter, what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu is worried, Oid Ma'ad Muskaluni. Moshe Rabbeinu is worried that Klal Yisroel are going to stone him. However, when they hear that Moshe Rabbeinu is about to pass away, they didn't want to go to war because they knew that as soon as this battle was won, then they would lose their leader, lose Moshe Rabbeinu. So the pasuk, by using the word vayim masru, is hinting the shvach, and the lashon of Rashi is roye Yisrael, from the shvach of Moshe Rabbeinu. The mice is brought down from the Bach. The Bach, apparently, I don't know the details, but had major tzaras with his kehila. He did not have an easy time at all as the rav of the kehila wherever he was. And
bells.
In
bells.
and the he's on, and the mice goes that when the Bach was on his deathbed, that the Kahal, some of the Rosh Kahal and others were coming in to pay their final respects to the Bach, and amongst those that came in were those that gave him tzaras, were those that really, really made his life somewhat a misery. And the story goes, the Bach looks up and sees these people here, and he expresses something of a bewilderment, a wonder as to, you know, you're the ones that have come now after all the pain and suffering that you've caused me. What are you doing here? And one of the Skanim, one of the Rosh Kahal, turns to the Bach and says, quote him this pasuk, and he says, if you medayek the lashon of Rashi, Rashi says, it's the shivchon shel roye Yisrael. It's the shvach of the roye Yisrael. It says, really, if you take a closer look at the pshat that Rashi's telling us, l'chayra, this is not a shvach of Moshe Rabbeinu, l'chayra, this is a shvach of Klal Yisrael. It should say it's the shvach of the Bnei Yisrael, just how much they have covered for their leaders, that even though times are tough, and even though there was worry about Idma Adskaluni, then, still, they don't want to see them go. So why does Rashi say Roy Yisrael? And they explain to the Bach as follows, and they said that for a leader of Klal Yisrael, or really anywhere, but Klal Yisrael, to be beloved in their lifetime is no great shvach. Why? Because sometimes leaders need to take strong stances. Sometimes leaders aren't the most popular. Sometimes they have to take a stand against something which won't earn them popularity. But for somebody to have in their lifetime tzaras, for somebody to have in their lifetime challenges and times when they're not the most popular, and yet when they're about to leave, when they're about to go, they don't want to see that leadership go, they are upset to see them go, devastated to see them go, that is the ultimate shvach, not of Klal Yisrael, but of the leader, of the Roye Yisrael, that in their lifetime things may not be so easy. In their lifetime, they may have to take a strong stand on something. But Afal Pikein, even so, when it's their time to leave, Klal Yisrael are upset, they're crying, they understand the value of them. That's the ultimate shvach of Roy Yisrael. And that's what he said to the Bach. He said, look, you know, there were difficult times, there was Tzoret as well. But look, even those people, now that you're about to leave, there's a real pain and anguish. That's the ultimate shvach. Because sometimes in the position of rabbonus and position of leadership, it is tempting to go down the route of chanufa. It's tempting to go down the route of just being in the position of making others feel good and not standing up for what's truly right. And on that note, that's really what I wanted to speak about this morning, this concept of chanufa, which is in the next parasha, next of the two parashas this week, of Maaseh, where at the end of Perek Lamed Hei, Parashas Maaseh, we, right at the end of the episode, right at the end of the halachas of Ir Miklot, someone who kills B'shoigeg, how it works, and so on, he runs to an Ir Miklot. Towards the end of that parasha, it concludes with as follows: V'loisikhu koifer lenefesh reitzeach asher rosh alamos. Don't take koifer, don't allow a reitzeach to buy themselves out of their punishment. He must be put to death. He has to get the punishment that he deserves. And continues the pasuk and said, V'loisikhu koifer lanus el ir miklote. Don't take koifer for somebody who kills b'shoigeg, l'shuv, l'sheves, barat ad mois ha-kohen. They can't buy themselves their freedom. They can't buy themselves out of the onish which they're meant to get, both a reitzeach and someone who kills b'shoigeg. And here, most importantly for our purposes, v'lo sachanifu es ha'aretz. Don't be machanif. I'm purposely not translating that word, but don't be machanif the land, asher atem bo, which you are going to go into, ki hadom hu yachnif es ha'aretz. And the pasuk continues and says, there is no way that the oretz is going to have kapara unless it's through the dam of the one that committed the crime. And then concludes the parasha, do not be metame the land which you are dwelling, says the pasuk, at least in the pashtus of what's going on over here, is the Torah is telling us that you can't, we're not allowed. It's also to allow the roitzeach, or the one that kills b'shoigeg, to pay off, as it were, the basin, or pay off whoever it is, to ensure that they don't have the onish which they deserve, says the pasuk, because by doing so, it would be v'lo sachanifu es ha'aretz asher atayosh asher atem bo. Now, before we come on to that, just interestingly, I just saw it before, so I wanted to share it. The pasuk, it concludes and says, "V'lo sitameh es ha'aretz, do not be metameh the land." The Meshech Chochma explains, he says, you see here that by allowing, let's just talk about the one who kills B'shoigeg, by allowing him to stay in the land, you'll be metameh the land. So what do? We send him to an Ir Miklot. He says, really, the way the Ir Miklot works is to get rid of the tumah that we're worried about being metameh the land. How so? He says, the Ir Miklot is like the mikveh. Their miklot is like, in the same way that when you want to get rid of tumah, you go to a mikveh. That's the same as the Ir Miklot. So he's immersing himself, as it were, in the mikveh of the Ir Miklot. And also, like certain tumas, for example, truma as well, you need harav shemesh. What's the harav shemesh that the fellow that goes to the Ir Miklot has to have? It says admois kohen gadol as well. That's the ultimate harav shemesh. It's the ultimate sun going down. And that's that's how you get rid of the tumah. But going back, v'lo sachanifu es ha'aretz. How do we translate that word? V'lo sachanifu es ha'aretz. What's the translation of that word? I believe that this is the only time that this word appears in the Torah. Not in Tanakh, but only time the word appears in the Torah. V'lo sachanifu. So we don't have a precedent for this word, v'lo sachanifu. So let's take a look at how the Mefarshim translate this word. So Rashi quotes the Rashi, comes off the Targum. Rashi says, "Lo sachanifu" means "v'lo tarshiu." Do not guilt. Do not guilt the land. Do not make the land a rishis katargumai, as the Targum says, "V'lo tachayevu." Don't be machayev the land. So Rashi's pshat in tachanifu is not the way we usually think of that word of chanufa. The loshen actually means "v'lo sarshiu." As the Targum says, do not be marshia the land, do not guilt, bring guilt on the land as well. The Targum Yonason has a similar way, and he says, if I can just get this lashon over here, v'loi setanfun, do not defile, do not dirty the land. However, If we look at the Ramban gives a different pshat to this word, the Lo Yisach Hanif, and the Ramban says as follows. Says the Ramban, the inyan hachanufa. What is this chanufa over here, which the Torah is referring to? Hu hanem rambar klolos. This is the chanufa that we find in the klolos in Kisavoy. What does the pasuk say? Zera rav toiti asoda. Your fields will produce plenty. Fields will produce a huge amount of produce. Umaat tersoif. However, when it comes to harvesting that produce, you'll only be able to bring in and harvest ma'at. And similarly, the pasuk continues, Kuromim tita v'avadata, you will plant vineyards, there'll be plenty of grapes. However, when it comes to actually trying to get wine from those grapes, for yayin lo sishta, it won't be able to give you the wine that you so desire. One more, well, there's a few more, but I'll say one more. Zeisim yulacha v'shem lo sasuch, you'll have lots of zeisim, and you won't be able to get any shemen, any oil from there. What does the Ramban say? What does this mean? Ki kol chanufa, what does chanufa mean? Asois hepech hanira v'hanidme le'inayim. Chanufa means the opposite of that which appears to the eye. It looks like it's going to produce something. It looks like the result's going to be something based off what we see. But the result is the opposite. The hepech. Sorry?
That fits in.
We'll see in a moment. And he says, so what is the pasuk saying? How does it fit in to the pasuk over here? What the pasuk says, "V'leisach hanifu esa'aretz," it's not so much a tzivui, it's a warning. And it says that if you take a kofer lenefesh reteach and so on, by doing so, you will be machanif the land. By doing so, you will cause all the klolos that are mentioned in the Torah. How so? Because that's what chanufa is. It's that you'd expect the results to be one way, and it turns out the other. Rosh Hashanah Hirsch goes down the same route with translating this word chanufa and kadarkoi. He takes words which have very similar sound. He uses the words of anof, a branch, and anovim, or anov, a grape, and he says that those words are words which define something as it is. You see what it really is. I don't know why those two words specifically, but you can ayin shom to see it, to understand more. But those are things which are exactly as they are. A branch, a grape, you see what you get. But ches nun pei, the sherish ches nun pei, sometimes, when it comes to shirashim, it's similar because it's the exact opposite. There's an opposite over here. Is that it's not what you think it's going to be. It's not what you see. It's the opposite of what you expect it to be. And that's the lashon of chanufa. So coming back to, so how would you translate this word into English? So I don't know, Rosh Hashanah Volhash doesn't translate into English. We've got a German speaker over here. I don't know what he actually writes in his German. You can check it up afterwards. But the way they translate it in the English, Rosh Hashanah Volhash, is hypocrisy. That's the way that, based off the Ramban, I guess, or based off Rosh Hashanah Volhash, it would be, don't turn the land into something of a hypocrite. That it purports to be something which doesn't end up being. So chanufa, in according to that understanding, will be something of a hypocrisy. Now, the Ramban continues, and the Ramban explains, he brings down a sifri. And the sifri is going to be talking about the chanufa that we're used to thinking about. And the sifri says as follows, V'loisach chanufa es ha'oretz bilmi machanif the land, harei zu azhara lechanofim. This is totally separate from what the Pasuk's talking about until now, and what's similar but separate, and that is it's being mazir chanofim, that what do not commit chanufa. Now it's talking to us, it's talking to everybody, and says, don't be somebody who is machanif. Ki hizir b'tchila, first the Torah tells us that we can't take shoychad from roitzkin. First the Torah tells us he's not allowed to take payment from roitzeach to buy himself out of having to get the oinish of misa. V'choz of hizir, shaloi nachanif lohem l'malosam. And the pasuk continues and says, not only can you not do that, but you also cannot be machanif lohem l'malosam. You cannot be machanif to them for their greatness. Or because they are powerful people, or kavod mishpachtam, but they have yichus, but b'limikach shoychad, ki im anachnu nachanif lohem. Because if we commit chanufa to them, to these powerful people, to those that have yichus and so on, who are doing the wrong thing, and we are machanif to them, hine nachanif es ha'oretz tachas yoshveho, we will cause chanufa to the land, which is under its yoshvim. Says the Sifri, that this is a azhara, this is a command or a warning from the Torah not to be somebody who is machanif to those that are doing the wrong thing. In this particular context, it's referring to roitzchim, but it's referring to all those that do the wrong thing, that make the wrong choices, that we can't be machanif to them. Now, it's a sifri, and it's not necessarily something which we would always bring down as one of the Tariag mitzvahs. However, the Sefer Yerayim in Mitzvah Nunhei brings this as one of the Tariag mitzvahs, and he says, Tzivot Surena Parashas Ve'ele Maseh, Hashem is Mitzavet Us in Ele Maseh, Loi Tachanifu Esa'oretz. You can't be machanif the land, okay, that's the pasuk. And he quotes the Sifri, V'tanya B'Sifri, Harezu Azhara L'Chanofim, this is a Azhara for Chanofim, as we just saw earlier. So it's not just a Sifri, it's something which the Urain brings down as one of the Tariag mitzvahs, not to be somebody who is machanif to others. Now if we take a closer look at this lav, as it were, of Chanufa, we find the following interesting episodes which are in the Gemara and so on. And the first is as follows. I think it's quite famous, this Maisa, but it's really the beginning of the concept of Chanufa, and that is the Mishnah tells us in Soita Daf Mem Aleph, Parshas HaMelech Ketzad talks about the how Hakel would work. It's the end of the seventh year of Shemitah, Motzei Sukkos. You would take a big bima, shall eat bazora, and the melech would sit by the bima over there, and he would read the parashas of Hakel, and there was a whole ceremony that would take place, how they'd pass the Sefer Torah from the Chazan HaKnesses to the Sagan HaKnesses to Sagan Kohen Gadol and so on, and give it to Kohen Gadol, and gives it to the melech, and the melech sits down. And one particular maisa which is recorded by the Mishnah over here is Agrippas HaMelech. Agrippa Samelech, King Agrippa, Omad, V'kibel. He takes the Sefer Torah, he's Mekabel the Sefer Torah, V'kora Omed, and he reads the Sefer Torah standing. He's super, he's extra frum, really the Melech's meant to be sitting, but Agrippa's showing just how, of a machmir he is. V'shibchu Chachomim, Chachomim were Meshabeach him for doing so. V'kishehigia l'loisucha l'alecha, l'oseis alecha ish nochri. When he comes, when he's reading the parasha of Hakel, and he gets the pasuk which says Leisuchal Loses Alecha Ish Nochri Zolgu Ein of Demois, Agrippus started to cry, tears streaming down his cheeks. Why? Because he realizes when he reads that pasuk that he is in direct violation of this pasuk. It says Leisuchal Loses Alecha Ish Nochri. He is an Ish Nochri. The Machlokes Rishonim how to understand what it means that he's an Ish Nochri. According to Rashi, he wasn't actually a Nochri. His mother was a Yisraelis, but he was possible to be a else his Yichus. He wasn't allowed to be the Melech. So it's not Mamish and Ish Nochri, but Tosfos and Baba Basra says no, he was an Ish Nochri. His mother wasn't Jewish. He was an absolute Nochri. But, come as that may, he wasn't right to be the Melech, and he's reading Leisuch Alessasalacha Ish Nochri. Zogen of the Mois, Amrulai, they say to him, Al, this is the Chachomim. The Chachomim say to him, Al Tisiore Agrippus, Ochinu Ata, Ochinu Ata. So don't worry, Agrippus, don't worry. You're not an Ish Nochri. Ochinu Ata, Ochinu Ata. You are our brother. As if to say that, no, don't worry, you're doing the right thing, it's fine. Even though you think that you're doing the wrong thing by being the Melech over the Israel, don't worry, Ochinu Ata. The Gemara continues after that Mishnah and says, Tana Mishmeid Reb Nosson, Ba'ois HaShon Eschayv U'Soyni Yisrael Kaloya. At the moment that the Chachamim said, Achino Ata, Achino Ata, Soyni Yisrael, which is referring to Klal Yisrael themselves, the Soyni Yisrael were Chayv Kaloya, they're going to be wiped out. Why? Shehechanifu Noil Agrippus, because they were Machnif Agrippus. And Rav Shimon Bar Chalafta, Miyem Shegovar Agrippa Shel Chanufa, on the day that the Agrippa shall the grip, of Chanufa was became powerful. Nifsavsu hadinin, the dinim became corrupted. Niskalklu hamasim ve'ein adam yochalem l'chaveri masei gedolei memasecho. Things fell apart. Listen, from that moment that they were machnef Agrippus, things were not the same since then. Now, interestingly, if you think about the mice of Agrippus, Agrippa was descended from Herodias, from King Herod. If you are if your Zeta was King Herod, you're probably not going to be the kindest of people, to say the least. In which case, there was a genuine concern with Agrippa's that if they wouldn't placate him, they wouldn't calm him down, then there would be serious concerns for Klal Yisrael's safety and the Chachamim's safety as well. And the mashmas of the Gemara is that Afal Pikein, they shouldn't have done what they did, and we're going to take a look at that right now. But just before we do so, just to stress the gravity of Chanufa, the Gemara then Saita says as follows: Arba kitos ein mekablos pnei shechina. There are four groups of people that cannot be mekabel pnei shechina. Kat leitzim. One is the leitzim. Kat chanof chanifim. Those do chanufa. Kat shikarim. Those that are tell lies. Kat mesaperi lashon hara. And it brings various psukim for each one. Chanufa is not something small. Chanufa is something quite grave. If you look at these four, I was reflecting on these four kitos, there is, I believe, a common denominator over here between these four. It's an interesting notion. Ein mekablois pnei shechina. And it then goes and quotes and brings down specifically these four. It's an interesting four to bring down. There's lots of averas that people can commit. Specifically these four, if we take a closer look at them, these four are all in the category of sheker. Of not seeing something for what it truly is. Chanofim and Leitzim and Shikarim and Lashon Hara as well, to a certain extent, even though it's true, you're putting somebody in a bad light, you're not seeing somebody for they truly are. Those sorts of people, how could they possibly be Mekabel Pnei Shechina? The Shechina is the ultimate emes, the Shechina is the ultimate truth, the Shechina is the ultimate connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to live with. And Arba Kitos means not somebody that commits this once. It means somebody who lives this way. You're in this category of people that just live this way. It doesn't fit. It's not congruent. It doesn't match up to be somebody who lives a life, as it were, of sheker, of seeing the word and seeing the world in a false way, of bringing sheker to the world. How can they possibly be mekabel pnei shechina, which is the total opposite of that? But going back to the story of Agrippa, says the Rabbeinu Yoina, v'chayev adam limsar atzmai lesakana. Says Rabbeinu Yoina that somebody is chayav to hand themselves over to sakona, to put themselves in a matzav of sakona. Ba'al yasi es nafshay avoy nashama kazois. He's talking about the aver of Chanufa. V'amar Rabbi said in Agrippus, and he brings down Agrippus as a right, as a proof to this, because it says leisuchal las es alach es nochri zolgin of demois achinu ato. He says they were machnif Agrippus af ki hay, and he proves from that maisa of Agrippus that even if there's sakona, even if somebody is life's in danger, still one is not allowed to commit chanufa to save their lives. And he continues and says the same thing with the dayan. The dayan is not allowed to be scared of einish mavis. Le'sagurim bnei ish. The issue of chanufa is not to be scared of others, not to be fearful of others. It's chanufa is that we're so scared of what others will do if we don't commend them for their ways, that their fear of others is what causes this. And says Rabbeinu Yonah, so much so bad is it that you have to give yourself over to sakana. Now, interestingly, this is where the sugya begins, and that is there's a maisa in the Dorim Chof Beis Amad Aleph where the Gemara records as follows: the following story with Ula. Ula b'miske la'arid Yisrael. When Ula was going to Eretz Yisrael, Islavu le train b'nei Chuzoi b'hadei. He was traveling together with two b'nei Chuzoi, as we'll see soon. These are, I guess today you'd refer to these as people of mafiosos or something b'hadei. Kom chad shochte l'chavrei. One gets up and murders, or shechts the other. Omar le Ula. And he turns to Ula and he says, Yos Abdi, did I do a good job? Now Ula turns to him, Omar Le in. Ula says, yes, you did a great job. Ufar Ale Beis Ashchita, and the fellow who has just stabbed his friend, Parale Beis Ashchita, that goes and finishes off the job. And now Ula was a bit concerned about this. Ki Osulakamej Rabbi Yochanan, when he reaches Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Le, he says to Rabbi Yochanan, I'm worried. I think I did the wrong thing. Dilma chas v'shalom achziki de over avera. Maybe I have been machzik over avera by saying what I said. I encouraged him to do more. So Rabbi Yochanan says back to Ullah, don't worry, nafshecha itzalta, don't worry, you saved your soul, you saved yourself. If you wouldn't have said that he did a good job, then he would have probably killed you too. So don't worry, Ullah, you absolutely did the correct thing. Now, of course, we have a bit of a steer over here, or rather a kasha over here, because the way Rabbeinu Yonah understands the Gemara by Agrippus, he says that you're chayev to be moisi yourself to sakona, and not to do chanufa. And it seems as if we have a Gemara Mufureshes in the Dorim which says the exact opposite, that Ullah was told nafshecha itzalt, and that's why he was allowed to do chanufa. So Tosfos indeed uses this Gemara as a raya faket to Rabbeinu Yonah. Tosfos says, b'mokim sakona mutter. Says Tosfos, b'mokim sakona, of course it's mutter to do chanufa, ki ahide perik arab in Dorim, as we see in the Gemara in Dorim. He quotes the Gemara of Ullah, Yos Avdi, and you see from that Gemara that nafshecha itzalta, that you can do chanufa. So if that's the case, if you're allowed to do a chanufa mokum sakana, according to Tosfos, how does Tosfos understand the Gemara in Soita? The Gemara in Soita, which is mashma, that there was, well, one would imagine there's a mokum sakana, the Gemara doesn't say clearly, but one would imagine when you're dealing with Agrippas, there's a mokum sakana over there. Says Tosfos, no. He says, even though they couldn't be meicha, if they would have been meicha, they would have been in serious trouble. He says over there by Agrippa, yes, if they would have said something, if they would have made a fuss about it, then of course that they would have been in grave danger. They weren't able to do that. But why did they have to say anything? Why did they have to say anything? Why did they say achinu atas? So according to Tosfos, the way you understand that Gemara is that in a chanami you can do chanufa b'makom sakana, but this wasn't really a makom sakana because they could have just kept quiet, and if they would have kept quiet, everything would have been okay. And that's why they were punished in the way they were punished, because they should have really kept quiet. But going back to Rabbeinu Yonah, and when I learned this sugya in Eretz Yisrael with Rabbeinu Rebekowitz, he brought down the Orchas Tzadikim. The Orcha Tzadikim, when he brings in his Shara Chanufa, Orcha Tzadikim brings down the story of Agrippus. Interesting, from Medayik the Loshon Orcha Tzadikim, he says, "V'im avoyin ze alchayte goloi berabim." If this chait is being done berabim, v'ze machanif loy berabim, and you're machanif berabim, v'im loy zach v'yoshar ato, you're amazing, you're a great guy. Oz chilal Hashem yisparach biza dos v'din. And then the Orcha Tzadikim continues and says, "V'chayiv adam nimsar atzmei sakana v'lo yosim atzmei ba'avayin zeh." You could be medayik in the Orcha Tzadikim, the way he's understanding the chiyuv to be moser atzmei and mokim sakana is dafka, based off what he said just a sentence previously, is if it's berabim. If it's berabim, that's when you have a chiyuv to be moser atzmei le sakana, and that will explain the Gemara according to Rabbeinu Yonah as well. Why? Because the Gemara by Agrippa is berabim. If it's berabim, you have to be moiser atzmei le sakana. Masha'en came with the Gemara of Ullah, where Ullah was where Rabbi Yechanan says to Ullah, Yos Avdi, you did the right thing. Ullah absolutely did the right thing, because it wasn't berabim. If it's not berabim, then there's no chiyuv to be moiser atzmei makim sakana as well. There is so much more to say on this sugya. I just wanted to maybe conclude with a with Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe has an interesting tshuva, because this is mamish lemaisa, the you know, all that we are focusing on over here. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a certain doctor. And this doctor, is very well respected by the Kehila. Reifa Yehudi mea mefursamim sheba medina, sherabim tzrichim loy. So he's somebody who's a top doctor, and you need, and he's a Balmidus, he's a nice guy, he's Rachamim at Stoker, but even Godel, he does a tremendous amount for the Kehillah and beyond. Vegam Oisa Harbet Toves Le'inyone HaKehillah, he does amazing things for the Kehillah. Avol, big Avol, who Nosu Nochris. Unfortunately, he is somebody whose wife he's married out. His wife is a Nochris. They don't give him any covered in the Beis HaKnesses. And the Roifa is seeing from this that he's being pushed out of the Kehillah, that he's being separated from the Kehillah, and he's very upset about it. and they're in a tricky situation because on the one hand, they have a lot of hakaras hatov to the roifer. Not only hakaras hatov, but they want to be able to continue that relationship with the roifer, who's doing a tremendous amount for the kehillah. But also, on the other hand, how can they give him the kavod? There's chanufa over here. And says Reb Moshe, interestingly, the way he understands the sugya, the whole chiyuv to be moser atzma l'sakana, says Reb Moshe, and the way that we saw Rabbeinu Yonah brought down, and so on, is why. Is because this is comparable to a marshal. The marshal famously says, when we have gimel averis chamuris, which is hori gal yavar, the marshal throws in a fourth, and the fourth is that one's not allowed to be mezayif the Torah in order to save their life. You can't say that the Torah says something which it doesn't, or doesn't say something which it does, to save your life. That's the ultimate ziyuf haTorah, and for that was Yohari Valyavar. Says Reb Moshe, those two dinim are very much connected, because the same thing is true with Chanufa. When it comes to Chanufa, what Chanufa be'etzem is it's being mezayif the Torah. It's turning around and telling somebody, no, it's fine what you're doing. It's okay what you're doing. The Torah, in fact, Hashem's okay with it. The Torah is okay with it. That is the ultimate ziyuf that's going on over here. And he says, Reb Moshe says, and he paskins, when you're machanif somebody, and there's obviously so much more to say about this, so don't take this as a final psak, but this at least is the way Reb Moshe paskins with this particular case, to be machanif somebody in a way that doesn't speak directly to the yisurim that they're doing, to turn around to the roifa and say, no, it's fine that you're married to a nocharist, that's a problem. But to give somebody covered for the good things that they are doing, whichever it understands are good, but you're not bichlal speaking to the averas which they're doing, in the case of the roifa as well, he says that's absolutely fine. Why? Because the whole concept of chamnufa is speaking to the avera itself. If you're not speaking to the avera itself, then it's okay. I just wanted to conclude and say as follows, and that is, on the pasuk of chamnufa, the Torah says, le'sachanifu es ha'aretz, says the Akedah, that, and it fits in the Ramban, that by doing chanufa, and Eretz Yisrael continues in the way that it is, then the land itself is committing chanufa as well. Because if we do chanufa, and we say that something's okay, then Eretz Yisrael be'etzem is saying the same thing to us. If the land continues as it is, with no changes, then the land, as it were, is saying, no, it's fine. The way you're behaving is fine. What you're doing is no problem whatsoever. It's fine. That is the ultimate chalufa that the land is committing, which the Pasuk means, le'sachnifas ha'aretz, by doing chanufa, by doing what you're doing, you're causing the land to do chanufa, and that's not allowed, in which case the land has to respond accordingly, and chas v'shalom bring those klalos that the Ramban said. But that's the scratching the surface of chanufa. Shker.
Thank you. We've thought on one part of the seder that really is like a small chapter, but it's got to do with the haluchas of Hagu'ula, namely taking kailim and preparing them for use by a Jewish person, because in the war against Midian, those days vessels were valuable commodities, all fashioned by hand, and you had a pot and you needed to purge it. And the only way to do so was by putting it either through water, boiling hot water, koila shetavir b'moim, which absorbed Machulus Asiros, had to exude them through that, and of course by fire, something like a barbecue which you need to kasher, you have to do so also through the medium of fire. But it's an interesting this conversation that went on, which is recorded in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, between a mean fellow, but he's actually Apikoros, and he had a conversation with Rabbi Avohu. And he says, Elekaichem koyen hi, your God is apparently a koyen. So he says, why do you say that? He says, because he says, V'yikhuli terumo, you should give terumo to me. If he takes terumo, clearly the Rebbein Shalem is a koyen. So Rebbevum, he asked him, and Memaila, what? So he says, well, if he's a koyen, apparently he buried Moshe Rabbeini also. How does a koyen bury somebody? He's going to become Tumah. And if he became Tumah, how is he going to be Mataya himself? We know that the Rebbein Shalom keeps the Torah, no? So he said, it can't possibly be that the Rebbein Shlodim toivels himself in water, because it's me mudat b'shaloi maim, his whole fist of the world is in the size of a kaviyuchel of all the planets of the Rebbein Shlodim's fist. He can't immerse himself in water. So Rebbe Avohu says, it's not a problem. The Eibishter is toivel himself in fire. So he said, how is he toivel himself in fire? He says, ki hine Hashem bo aish yuvoi. He'll enter into fire. So he said, and since when can you toivel yourself from tumah in fire? He says, have a look at this week's seder. Very easy. He said, choyl asher lo yuvoi bo aish tavir b'mayim. Whatever you cannot put into the flames, in other words, a vessel which will not pass the intensity of the heat of the fire, only that vessel you can put into water to purify. The Rebbein Shlodim can go into fire. So Mamali purifies himself through there. Interessante Schmiss. There's only one Nekida which I wanted to bring here, that this particular mitzvah of Hagulas Kailim, which we speak about, of Esh and Mayim, comes just after the Rebbein Shlodim to Moshe Rabbeini, Lekoyim Nikmas B'nai Yisrael Achateu Seif El Amecho. You have to go into this war because you're going to die shortly after. And if you're going to pass on from this world, I'm going to have to bury you. And if I'm going to bury you, I've got to prepare the way that I can be Toivel Takemsek from that mystic of Tim. Heldenish. Okay, so I'll give you another angle. It says, though, Zoyz Chika Satoru, Asher Tzivu Hashem. When it comes to the parsha of Puradimah, then everybody is busy, Rabbi Shah Darshan, Chika Satoru, Chika Chukakti. He is exactly the same Lushan here. Vayoyme, Luzakoin, Elancha, Tzavu, Zoyz Chika Satoru, Asher Tzivu Hashem, is Moshe. And nobody is busy with the business of Chik. That it's a chok. Chok is a choyre. What's the quintessential chok? Puradimah. Why? It doesn't make any sense. It's on the level of our rationale. It doesn't begin to have any logic to it. Here, there's a lot of logic to it, no? You want to cleanse a kaili. It absorbed machulas asiris of a goy. And now you want to purify. You put it to boiling hot water, the same way it absorbed it. Keboloi, kach, poltoi. If it absorbed by its achulas asiras through fire, and you go to on holiday and you see the very nice barbecue potentially usable for the kedasi food that you brought from on your journey, and but Lamar says it's a gosher barbecue, yes, yeah? So you can use it on the basis that you clean it very very thoroughly, and it's ein ben yoima, and then afterwards you put it to fire, and the same fire that you're using for the barbecue, you would kasher it. I checked thoroughly to make sure you haven't got any particles first, but that's a very logical thing. It's nicht kein Chok. But in view of the fact that there's a Chazal. Chazal says, person does a virus. How is he supposed to free himself from this Yaitzah Hora? So the Baruch Shem says, you know, I'm actually the designer of this world. You want to know, I made that Yaitzah Hora, I manufactured him. I can tell you also how to go about dealing with him. And it says that Berusiloi Yaitzahor, Berusiloi Toiro Tavlin. And if therefore I'm telling you that the only way to get around this Yaitzahor is one way of learning Torah. And the Mighty says to him something very good. Kebole Kachpolte, if the Yaitzahor, the Torah is compared to water, Hoi Kotsumoi Rechilemai. The Torah is compared to fire, Eish Dos Lumoy. And as we said before, that's Kefate Shefoytes Eish, Psikim, which clearly identify the Torah with those two properties. So he's saying to you, Zois Chikas HaToro, it goes beyond any logic whatsoever, that the fact that a person can be drawn to so many inclinations, so many things that the Yaitzah Hora is Moshech to him. The world that we go out in the street that we have to deal with is full of Yaitzah Hora, drawing us and inclining us from every possible angle. And the Rebbein Shlodim says, I know I designed him. I'm giving you the key factor. This is how you deal with him. As lernen Torah is keboloi kachpoltoi. Memaila, this is the stress of the Zois Chikas HaToiro,
The Indian of our Geula is to say to you, if you want to rid yourselves from the impurities that have been absorbed inside you by the Yetzer Hara, there's only one way to do it. And that defies all logic. Why is it like that? I don't know. But the Rebbein Shlomim says, you want to rid yourself from that, there's only one way. Learn, flasik, teure, the Eibstedt, help from us, Aspazol, patterns of the Yetzer Hara.
In that one chit is put to the creed, even though that it's written. Seen it did say, sitting down.
Yeah. I understand that one.
And the footballer. That was his name, was it?
Balogun. Balogun. Yeah.
Anyway, I was thinking that's what he was talking about. The hundred
million. Oh yeah.
The frightened.